Welcome to Let's Talk About with Ione Butler. Today I am speaking with a wonderful man called Andre Block.
Yes.
I always say that as if it's a question. I'm like, always introduce my guests. I'm like, did I get that right? I do it with everyone. Should get better. This month I wanted to focus on being of service, and because I feel like it's something that's very important to being happy, being of service, giving back. And I randomly met Andre at a restaurant at dinner about 3 days ago, and he told me about what he does, which is basically dedicating his life to being of service to others and helping people, which I thought was incredible. So thank you for talking to me.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. First of all, could you just tell everyone what it is you do?
I bicycle across the country, doing charity rides for different causes. We change the cause every year. Basically that's it. We get out and spread awareness for whatever the cause may be, raise funds to help with research, and try to inspire people to do the same type of thing.
Nice. And what was it that made you want to spend your time doing this?
I got called a dummy.
You got called a dummy?
Yes.
Please, pray tell. You don't strike me as a dummy.
Thank you. Basically, I was a little down and out at one point in life, and I performed an act of kindness. Had a little bit of money in my pocket, and I helped the family that was sleeping outside in their vehicle get a hotel room, and someone thought it was dumb of me to do that because I was struggling myself. And that kind of sparked something in me and made me want to dedicate my life to doing that and helping to change other people's lives.
So what is it about doing what you do that makes it worthwhile, or what was it about that act of kindness that made you just want to spend time doing this more often?
It was the greatest feeling I had ever felt. And I felt I wanted to feel that every day. And I didn't see why I ever didn't, strive to feel that every day. And I wanted that to become an everyday part of my life, is out helping and feeling that feeling. So it's almost selfish, because I get so much out of helping that it's a way of life. It's not an act anymore. It's just what I do.
I think it's incredible how it makes you feel. Like, it is ridiculous doing nice things, and it's so simple a lot of the time, and people don't often do it.
We don't. It's so many. We have so many opportunities. I truly believe a smile can change someone's complete life. Mm-hmm. That smile that you give a person on their way to work in the morning. That compliment of their shoes or of their hair that brightens their day, and they take that to work, and they're now happier. They're now working with all of their coworkers in a more pleasant way, and everyone's life in that office or in that warehouse has been changed just by your smile or just by your small comment. If we just take the time sometimes, mm-hmm. just to reach out and put ourselves to the side for a second and be aware of the people around us, and just small things that show we care for one another can change all of our lives for the rest of our lives. Like,
seriously. I agree, and it's funny you say that, because it's just the simple things. You don't have to dedicate your life like you're doing cycling across the country for 7 months raising money, and it's brilliant what you are doing, but not everybody is going to do that. But you're right, everyone can do something.
Everyone
which is as small as a smile or a compliment.
Yes.
What types of things have you, what's been the benefit, what's been the rewards for you? Are there any kind of moments or stories of something that's happened where you just feel like this is really worthwhile what you've been doing?
Definitely. In Missouri, I was written a note. I wish I could remember the words on it, but basically it was I was riding down the interstate, and there was a van on the side of the road, and as I approached and got a little closer, a lady walked out, and she had this big, huge bottle of cold water for me, and it was the sweetest thing ever. And she told me that her and the kids had passed by me going the other direction, and she just felt it in her heart to meet me and bring me some water. So I really needed it at the time anyway. It was hot. and so we sat and chatted for a moment, and she told me that her mother had actually, I was writing, of course, to raise awareness and raise funds for lupus. And she told me that her mother had recently been diagnosed with lupus, and that she was going to be going to the hospital within that week to get her test results to see if she suffered from lupus. And she was mind blown, of course, as well as I, you know, on what a coincidence. You know, I don't really believe in coincidences, but we were both blown away at the time. And I'm sorry, what was your question?
It was about things that people have said or done that makes yes. everything worthwhile for you doing this.
So when her husband and the kids wanted her husband to meet me. Mm-hmm. I had went on to the next town. She texted me or called me and said, "Hey, I really want you to meet my husband and you know, and the other kids, and we want to bring you some groceries and things like that." And they brought me all these groceries and stuff that was way too heavy, way too much water, you know. But I was so thankful; it was so sweet. But she, but she wrote me this letter, and this letter was so beautiful, and it was just telling, you know, the end of the angel, the end of the letter, she reminded me that I told her she was an angel for bringing me that water. And she just thanked me for being an angel in return to everyone suffering with lupus. And that letter, it was just something about that letter in itself that I would have been happy if that was the only thing I accomplished. Mm. You know, other than that, there was so many stories, so many ways that I can answer this question. But at the Grand Canyon, I met a lady at the Grand Canyon who had recently tried to kill herself. And I had the opportunity to get her away from the Grand Canyon where she was planning on finishing herself. So I would say the greatest thing that I've been able to, that I was able to receive from this trip is the fact that she's still alive today.
And, you saved a life.
And she doesn't have desire to kill herself today.
Wow.
And so that would be the greatest gift that I could say I got out of it, for sure.
So what happened? You just cycled past and did you see her or?
Well, so I had actually been at the Grand Canyon, I believe, a week or something like that. And I had a wonderful time. I spent Halloween there. Mm. Just a great time there. And so I was getting ready to leave. I was all packed up and I was checking my camp to make sure I didn't leave anything. And as I set my bike against the tree, a lady walks up, you know, and she's like, "Huh, I hadn't seen you here." And I was like, "Well, I'm Andre, you know." And I reached my hand out, and she reached her hand out. And she had long sleeves on, but on her wrist, I noticed a stitch. Now, before I left on this trip, before I started in the first place, I met a park ranger that told me, as weird as this is, told me, if you spend any significant amount of time at the Grand Canyon, do not let a jumper destroy your spirit, because there's a very good possibility it'll happen while you're there.
Wow.
She was a park ranger. She had worked at the Grand Canyon for like 15, 20 years. Mm. So that just, as soon as I saw the stitch on Tanya's arm, her voice, that lady, that park ranger, just popped in my head, and it was just like, whoa. And so I thought to myself at that moment, either you can deal with whatever headache this is getting ready to become, or you can split and get out of here right now, you know. And there was no way I could leave her. So I said, "You know what, Tanya? I think I want to stay another night. I think I'm going to come and put my tent over there in your camping spot. Is that okay?" She said, "I think that'd be great." So I took my bike over to her camping spot, and we talked as I put my tent up, you know, next to hers, and had a couple drinks, you know. And, after we got comfortable, I asked her, so when did you do that to your wrist? And she, you know, was kind of caught off guard. She noticed that. I said, yes, I noticed that. A couple hours ago. No big deal. We're friends now, right? You know, just I was just wondering, you know. And that's when the waterworks started, of course, you know. And she, you know, went on to tell me that she had been in an abusive relationship. And, you know, basically life was just not happy for her anymore. And so she had, you know, left the guy and everything behind. She had tried, you know, to kill herself with a knife. It didn't work. So she came to the Grand Canyon to finish herself off. And so I said, you know that ain't gonna happen now, right? And she kind of smiles a little bit, you know. And we change the subject and we move on. And the next day, I kind of thought about it all night, of course, to myself. And the next day I said, so, I would like you to be my new support driver. I would like for you to take some of this heavy pack that I have and go ahead. You know, you've got a tent, I've got a tent. You can set up camp for me and you can help me make it to California so much faster. Everyone with lupus would really appreciate your help if you'd like to help me. You know, and she's like, I would love to do that. You know, so I'm thinking, yes. So at the time, her car was in the impound. She had gotten a DUI at the Grand Canyon. So I helped her get her car out of the impound. I went down to Flagstaff with her so she can go to court about that DUI she had gotten. And so I met her lawyer with her, went to court with her, met her probation officer, and but they had put her on probation where she couldn't leave Arizona. So she couldn't be my support driver. And sadly, right now, she's actually in jail. She, we got her a place to stay in Flagstaff at a place called Hope. It was really sweet of Hope to give her a place to stay. We got her accepted to another treatment center that was going to be even better than Hope. She started a job at Denny's. She was doing really well. She was happy. Sent me pictures smiling in her new work outfits, you know. We talked every day. She's doing really well. And she called me and said she had a second job. And this was 3 weeks ago. She called me and said, I've got a second job, Andre. You know, I'm so happy. I was like, yeah. And she's all giddy, you know, and telling me about it. You know, I was like, what are you going to be doing? She said, I'll be bartending. That was the red flag. So that night, obviously, she had a few drinks at work. And she, when she left work, she got pulled over.
Oh, no.
And she got a new DUI. And she's in jail. But, and she's going to be there for a while. But she's alive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She's alive. And I'm getting ready to write her a letter. I just recently found out she's in jail, but she's alive.
Well, you saved a life.
Yes.
That is incredible. It is. Yeah. It's just a matter of talking to somebody in need. And
we all need someone.
Yeah.
We all need someone. And we can all be affected. We can all be taught. We can all lift to a higher level of consciousness. But it's you can only be helped in that moment that you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of times we try changing people instead of waiting for the moment that they're ready to change themselves. You know,
And being there when they do need it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've talked already a bit about some things that people can do just to make a difference and be involved and help. Like, are there other things?
Yes, definitely. You know, simple things like helping the lady cross the street. You know, the elderly couple that's changing the tire on the side of the road, which didn't really happen that much anymore. You know, but it still happens. help people in your community. Be there, listen. Listening is something I need to learn to do better still to this day. Listening. Every once in a while, everyone needs someone to just listen. And I don't know how many times I've solved my own problems by just talking to someone about it. You know, I've sat around and thought about it for hours and didn't come, I came up with nothing. But the moment I was able to share that conversation with someone else, it's like, that's what I can do. You know, like, whoa, well, that's the answer.
Yeah, I think at the core of us, humanity, it's connection and to connect. And so that's often just what people need.
Yeah.
And love, which I think is another major factor. So if you're feeling that compassion and love and from another person, it does. It heals pretty much most things, just knowing that you've got somebody there.
I agree. I agree. I watched a video today of a guy on the subway in New York with no shirt on, freezing, and another guy taking his shirt off. Literally, and his beanie cap, and putting it on the guy, because the guy was too cold to just really.
So he
literally had to help him get the shirt on, and put the hat on his head for him, and it was the kindest thing I've ever seen in my life. But you don't literally have to take your shirt off your back in normal situations.
You can just do really small things.
You know, like, you know, a lollipop for, you know, a kid that, you know, is poor and never gets to enjoy that. You know, a 50 cents sucker, you know, can completely change that kid's life. You know, it could always remember that one ice cream you bought them, you know, that makes them want to help someone.
Yes.
You know, inspire that child for the rest of their life. You know, just really small things. They make a huge difference, you know.
Yeah, I was listening to a video, watching a video with Tony Robbins, who's like an inspirational life coach type of person. And he was saying he was raised pretty poor, and his father had told him, you know, people don't give to each other. You know, you have to look after yourself. No one cares type of thing. And one Thanksgiving, there was an organization that went around sort of feeding people, providing meals for people. And they came to his house and provided him and his family with food. And for him, he just sort of, he said, I don't even know if that person's still alive anymore, but they changed my life because they showed me that people do care about each other.
Yes.
And, you know, he has a book out now about, it's all about money and educating people on money, but he's donating all the proceeds of the profit from the book to provide food for people.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you just think, you know, it's just, it's people do good things.
Yes.
And I had asked you earlier today, you know, do you consider yourself a happy person? And you said yes. And what is it, do you think, about why is it giving back and doing things for others makes you so happy?
That's what we're here to do. I think I don't think I get any more pleasure out of it than anyone else does. I think I just realized how much pleasure I get out of it. You know, and the more I give, the more I dedicate my time, the better I feel every day. And I think we all experience the exact same thing when we do that more often, you know?
So why do you think people might not give so much or do much for others?
I don't think we're taught to. I don't think that's a normal thing for us to do. We're taught to secure ourselves in our homes first, which is, I mean, I'm not against that. You know, I just take a little different approach. I want to secure. I want stability for us, not just me. You know, who needs stability? You know, when you're crazy as I am. Anyway, I think we're literally taught to be selfish.
Yeah.
To literally think of self first. We're not taught to reach outside of our circle to help people. We help our family, you know, we help our friends. We're not taught that we should help strangers, that we should care about the person who can't seem to get it right, you know, or care about the person who may be hopeless when it comes to the way they see themselves. We're taught to cast those people to the side because they didn't make it.
Yeah, or they're lazy, or they're not trying hard enough. Yes.
They're the failures, and, and that's the way we're taught to see them. And we just have to break that cycle, you know. But not everyone's looking for ways to break cycles. People are looking for comfort. We just have, you know.
The interesting thing, I think, is I think everybody, their wish for life is happiness. Like, I don't really know anybody that doesn't want to be happy in life. And the funny thing is, in that quest, it literally is the most easiest way to find happiness, is doing good things for other people. And given that everyone wants to be happy, and it's a proven fact that it makes you feel good to do things for others, like, there needs to be a TV show about it, or like, maybe they need to put some commercials out there rather than all these commercials for antidepressants and drugs. Maybe it should be.
Well, seriously, giving back. Serotonin is like a natural medicine, you know. It does so much for us, you know, and it's scientifically proven that when an act of kindness happens, the giver, the recipient, and everyone who witnessed it, all of their serotonin levels rise. I mean, you know, and it's that simple. You know, but yeah, we don't seem to get that for some reason.
So do some nice things. I know, you're right. It is as simple as a smile or a compliment.
It really is.
Buying somebody something.
I can't tell you how good it feels when, you know, when I've put my suit on, you know, and I've gotten all clean, and you know, and I walk through the store, and some woman just says, "Oh my God, whatever you did this morning worked." You know, it's just like, yes,
thank you,
thank you so much. You just made my whole world right now. You know,
so simple as well. It's didn't cost simple. Her anything.
Didn't cost her nothing. You know, she didn't even have to smile with it. Just the words. You know, yes.
So what is next for you?
Karma Ride 2016.
Okay.
Karma Ride 2016 will be me and a group of other people traveling from Venice Beach to Miami, and we'll be riding for Lupus as well that year as well. That's it. We'll be raising awareness. We'll be we're looking for a motorhome so that we can have a support vehicle. I carried all my own weight during 2015's ride. It was really difficult, and I don't want riders going through that. It's just too much, too hard on you. We're going to be going through Texas, hot Texas. I can't have riders carrying 150 pounds worth of weight. So we're looking for a motorhome so we can get so we can have a support vehicle. 2016 is going to be huge.
Venice to Miami.
Yes.
That's quite a long way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. How can people sort of follow you and stay in touch?
Definitely KromaRide.org.
What is that? Chroma?
I'm sorry.
Diction. Come on, Andre. They're not going to find it if you say it like that. That sounded like Karma Ride, and I don't know what that is.
Karma.
Karma. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Karma.
Karma. Mm-hmm. KarmaRide.org. Mm-hmm. We'll take you, as of right now, it takes you to my Facebook page. We'll be building a page that'll be basically standard for the Karma Ride. But for right now, I'm blogging, and you can keep up with me on my Facebook page, and KarmaRide.org will take you there.
So did you set up Karma Ride, or?
I just bought Karma Ride. You mean
I thought Karma Ride is this something that you've kind of created? Really? I thought that it was just a big national thing, and it's just something that you've joined in on, but you set it up. Oh wow, that can be huge.
It could be.
It's gonna be huge.
I really think it's gonna be. I have a feeling it's gonna be huge.
Yeah. That's brilliant. So KarmaRide.org, and then that's connected to your Facebook and
yes, Yes.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, as of now, it's connected to my Facebook page. I didn't want to build a site on it until after I've completed the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by completing the ride is I need to retrace my steps. There's a lot of people that I didn't get pictures of that I want for the ride. I want pictures with them. I mean, for the website, I want pictures with them.
Mm-hmm.
As I tell our stories, you know, and things like that. So there's a little bit more work I need to get done before I can build the website that I'm building on karmaride.org. One of the things I want the website to feature, though, is a bicycle available. I want a bicycle available feature where basically anyone in any city can go to karmaride.org and see if someone has a bicycle that they would donate to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can remember a point in time where life was really rough for me, and if I could have just found a bicycle, I could have made it across town for work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but at that time I couldn't, you know, nothing would work out. Well, anyone facing that situation will be able to go to karmaride.org, check in their city, and find out if there's a bicycle that could be donated in their city.
That sounds great. There's a lot of potential with that.
Thank you. That's one of my biggest, that's one of the biggest things I want to get done with karmaride.org.
And so this year you're saying you've had about four or five people that are going to be joining you.
Yes.
Do you see it becoming, you know, 200 people cycling across the thing one day? Does that exist? Do people do that?
Not all the way across the country. People definitely do big rides like that. They got big rides like that, like across the states. They've got, you know, across Iowa, and they've got several big rides like that that are across the state, but they don't have any with hundreds of people going all the way across the country. I think that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
but
set a target. I think you need to make it happen.
Oh, wow. That would be so phenomenal. And it would open up so many doors. So I really like that. But, you know, what I really want to accomplish is changing hearts, you know, bringing people a little closer to love. Whether that's with five people, whether that's with 500 people. I don't care. I just really want to touch people, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take $1 million to do it. It doesn't take 1 million people to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes hearts.
I 100% agree with you. And you were talking about being the change you want to see in the world, and you are sort of being that change, and It's very doable.
I believe so. I believe so. We're working on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Andre. Yeah, when I met you, I just thought, what an inspiring, brilliant, lovely man. And I'm glad that I've got to talk to you about what you've been doing and what you plan on doing. And hopefully some people listening might be inspired to just smile. Yes, just smile at someone.
Just,
you know,
smile.
If you get anything from this... Just smile. I have people just walking around with massive grins on their faces, freaking people out. But somebody might be like, inspired.
Well, you can have fun with that, though, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So you can check out more information about Andre at karmaride.org and also his Facebook page, Andre Block.
Yes, Andre Block.
Check him out. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.